Okay, we're picking up on Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines from the bottom of Tesvav Amud Beis. So the Gemara is now introducing Klei Zechuchis, glass kelim. So just to give a little hakdama, because we're going to have the whole next Amud is going to discuss the difference between Klei Cheres and Klei Mateches, between metal and earthenware vessels. So we have to give five chilukim just so that you are aware of them, and this way you'll be able to understand the hemshich of what the Gemara is asking kashas from back and forth. So firstly, midja areisa, there is no concept of klei zechuchis, of glass. We're going to see that. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. So the question is, should we compare it more to clay, to clay cheres, which is earthenware? Should we compare it to clay mateches, which is metal? So what are the different halachas? The first is a base kibbul. When it comes to halacha of klei cheres, it can't become tameh unless it has a base kibbul, meaning it's like a spoon or a cup or something like that. If you just have a flat piece of earthenware, that would not be mekabel tumah. These are all gzeiras hakasuv, not necessarily svara, but tumah v'tahara usually many times just gzeiras hakasuv for the reasoning. However, when it comes to metal, it would become a kli even if it's flat, and if it's straight, it would still become a kli. If you have a plank of metal, it would become tameh. That's halacha number one, is the difference. Number two is, how does it become tameh? When it comes to klei cheres, it becomes tameh through the, if you don't touch the thing inside, even through the outer surface, it's going to become, if you touch the outer surface of a klei mateches, of metal, it becomes tameh, the whole klei becomes tameh. However, with regards to when it comes to klei cheres, when it comes to earthenware, the inside does not become tameh. Again, exeris akosu, that the inside, so if you touch the outer side of a bowl of a klei cheres, of an earthenware, like a chalim bowl, usually is made of this type of earthenware, if you touch the outside, the inside doesn't necessarily become tameh. And what about if it did become tameh? So does it, if you put it back together and you broke it and then you made it again, is it tameh? So midrabanan, by metals, it does become tameh again. However, midrabanan, by klei cheres, once you break it, it's always the Gemara, the Mishnah is always the shvarasan, zawi tarasan, that as soon as you break it, even if you put it back together, it would be okay. That is the halacha over there. However, there are two chumras when it comes to klei cheres. Number one is the fact that I'm allowed to tovel in the mikvah and do hazah and have the concept of making it tahor. That only applies to metal kelim. That does not apply to klei cheres. Klei cheres, you can only break it. That's the only way to fix it. And the second halacha is also when I keep something in the airspace. If I have something in the airspace of a klei cheres, when I have something in the airspace of a klei cheres, it would make the kli itself tame. So let's say I'm sticking in the air of a bowl, of a chalent bowl, and I have a sheretz, it makes the whole kli, even if it doesn't touch the kli itself, doesn't touch the earthenware, it makes the whole earthenware tame. When it comes to a klei mateches, we have no such halacha. The only way a klei mateches and metal can become tame is if, in fact, it touches the actual kli itself. So with all that in mind, we're ready to start the Gemara. Says the Gemara, klei zechuchis. When it comes to glass kelim, my tama gazer rabbanan tuma. So why do the rabbis decree that it is susceptible to tuma? Why is it becoming tameh? Again, we pointed out that by deraisa there is no mention of glass. So why is it that the rabbanan were gozer over here? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says in Reish Lakish, Hoil tchilas briyasim minachol. Since its formation, it starts from the sand. That's how you make it. Then shavin rabbanan kichlecharis. The rabbis gave it as the same category as earthenware. It's going to become susceptible to tuma, like earthenware. Midoraisa, it's similar to it. So therefore, we give it the halachas of klei cheres. So the Gemara now ejects the comparison. The Gemara says, "Ela ma'ata lo tehei lahen tahara b'mikvah." So we just pointed out that one of the differences between klei cheres and klei mateches, between metal and between earthenware, is that earthenware cannot be, the only way to be matahir earthenware is by breaking it. That there's no way of doing hazah and bringing it to the mikvah. You can't bring it to the mikvah, so then lotar tawas mikvah, so why should glass, if glass is really similar to earthenware, it should not be allowed to be brought to a mikvah and be matahir. So what's the Mishnah that implies otherwise? Alama tnan, that we learn in the Mishnah, the contrary halacha. What does the Mishnah say? The elu chotis in bekelim, the following items are going to come a chatzitza, are going to come a barrier. A chatzitza is something that if a woman are very familiar with this, right? If they have something on their body that they don't want there, if there's something that's not supposed to be there on a utensil, it passes it from becoming mutter to use in a mikvah. So the Gemara says these things are going to be a chatzitza when it comes to an intervention, literally, in these utensils. What are they? Hazefes, amor, beklichas chuchis, pitch, or some say musk or myrrh, and I don't really know what those two are really, that's how it's translated, or glass. So what do we see? That glass, if it's talking about things that can become a chatzitza in a mikvah and become a problem of toveling it, it seems clear that you're allowed to tovel it just under the circumstances you don't have a chatzitza. And glass is mentioned in this Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, so then how do we have a case where glass is allowed to be toveled and be metayer? So it says the Gemara, hachamayaskina, this is what we're dealing with over here. Kigon shenikva, we're talking about a case where the glass vessels became, you put a hole in them, and they became unusable, and what did you do? V'hetif l'tochan avar. So then you poured lead into them to plug up this hole, so there's a hole in this kli, and then you pour a lead into the hole to plug up the kli, and then we're following Shitas Rav Meir here, we're following Shitas Rav Meir, da'amar kol ahole chalamar maimid. Rabbi Meir holds that the status of everything follows the thing that's holding it up, the maimid, the thing that's maintaining it. And since over here, so really, the whole thing is a glass kli, and you have the lead that's plugging up the hole, so according to Rav Meir, since the hole is plugged up by lead, and that is the thing that's holding it up, we go after the fact, we treat the whole kli as if it's like a lead kli. And therefore, lead we know is able to be brought into a mikvah and be metaher. And so too, even though normally glass, we're assuming right now the Gemara's answer is that glass really cannot be brought to a mikvah, but since we're ruling this like Rav Meir holds, and our Mishnah would be following this psak also, our Mishnah would be following Rav Meir that holds that kli zechuchis cannot be brought to a mikvah, but this isn't a kli zechuchis. Now we view it as a lead, even though the only thing that's made out of lead in this whole kli, this whole utensil, is just the part that he plugged up. So the Gemara cites a brisa that is going to show that Rav Meir is of the Shita. The sign of the brisa says, if someone has a glass vessel, it becomes, you put a hole in it, then someone poured a lead into them to repair the hole. Rav Meir says that this is going to become tame, like we said before, because it's like lead, and Rav Mechachamim Metayer, the Chachamim say that it's tar, because it's not considered metal, and we saw, even though just because it has a metal plug, however, it's losing the status of Klei Cheres, according to Rabbanan, just to find out why Rabbanan says it's tar, then it's just, you have to break it. No, because since we Shvaras and Zoe Taras, and you broke the Kli really, and you filled it with something else, so it's a very novel interpretation of the Chachamim, very interesting, they hold it's not metame at all, and it is tahor. So that's the sheet of chachamim. But again, we're bringing this out just to prove Rav Meir about the davar maimid. So now the Gemara says, fine, that might be true, but we're rejecting now the comparison between clay zechuches and clay chares to assume that glass and earthenware are the same from the following. Elamata. We're going now, turning off the next. I'm a lola tame megamad. The glass kalim shouldn't become tame through their outer surface, just as clay chares, like we pointed out before. Clay chares can become a tame through their outer surface. So that's one of the differences. So glass vessels should not become, they don't rather. So meaning if you touch the outside of it, it doesn't necessarily matame the inside of glass. That should be the halacha. It should be similar to klei cheres in this regard. Alamatanam, but we learned the following in the Mishnah. That's not that way. Klei cheres, the klei neser, tumas and shavet. When it comes to earthenware, and klei neser is a big shiloh what it is. It's natron, or some say it's some other thing, forgot the actual term of it. It's something that's similar to klei cheres. So I'm not exactly sure. There's a big machlokas. It's something similar to crystal, maybe. This is shiloh of exactly what this klei neser is, but let's just go with natron. That's what this item is made of. Tumas and shavet. These laws. So again, we're comparing earthenware and this item of klei neser together. And mitame mitame nachoren. They both acquire tuma and can convey tuma through their airspace, like we pointed out before. Shaseretz is sticking out in the airspace of a klei cheres, of an earthenware vessel. It's mitame the whole klei cheres, even if it doesn't touch it. Umitame nachoren. And they also acquire tuma through their literally their exterior, where it's really referring to the bottom over here. They used to have a kli like a nice goblet. So picture that there's a bottom and then it rounds up on the top. So the bottom part, even if it touches from the outer space, it can also become tame as well. And just one point about mitame mitame acharein, Rashi also points out that if you have a sheretz sticking in the airspace of the kli cheres, of this earthenware, and then and it becomes tame through the earthenware, the thing itself, the pot becomes tame, then even if I stick another kli later, let's say I put a random metal kli in the airspace, even nothing touched throughout this whole process, the glass kli also, the metal kli also become tame. Rashi just points it out. They don't acquire tuma through their outer surface, and the only way to render them tahor is by breaking their kalim. So from the fact that the Mishnah only compares klei neser, klei cheres, the Gemara has the following objection. Klei neser, klei cheres, who do tumas and shavet. It sounds like there's only natural vessels and the earthenware vessels. These laws are identical. However, anything else, meaning glass, it doesn't seem to be compared in this Mishnah. The Mishnah Dafka chose two things. It chose earthenware and this other klei neser, and it doesn't mention klei zechuchis. So we don't seem to pay that they're comparable. So the Gemara now says, in answer to this question, amrei kevan dechi nishtabru, since when they become broken, yeshlam takana, glass vessels, you can fix them if you melt them down and then refashion them so they'd be able to then recreate them. So then in this regard, the rabbis therefore said they're going to be similar to metal with regards to Tuma Midarabadan of Tuma Yeshana. it's going to have this old tumah, just like when it comes to klei zechuchah. So basically, klei matecha. So basically, it's a tumah derabanan, and for certain halachas, it's going to be like klei matechas, like metal, and certain halachas going to be like klei chares, like it's going to be like earthenware. So the Gemara asks the kasha, though, elamata yechazru letumas on yeshana klei matechas. But then, if that's the case, then glass ought to, if you break glass and you melt and you break it down, it should also, sorry, and you melt it down and then you recreate it, it should also go back to its old tumah, even if you recreate the klei, like we see when it regards to metal. Kalim. The Gemara says, and how do I know this? Disnan, the Mishnah tells us, klei matachas, when it regards to metal kalim, shutim become a tamein. Both, if it's flat or if it's hollow, they're going to be tamei. We sell not like klei charis. And nishtar butar, if they become broken, they become tor. However, chasvam kalim, if you repair the broken item of the metal and you remade them into new kalim, into new vessels, chazul timunashon yeshana, they're going to go back to their old tuma. So v'ilu gabe klei zechuchistan, and so really you want to say that that's like metal, it should be the same halacha for glass as well. That's not true though. Klei A, it's a klei or. When it comes to wooden, when it comes to leather, when it comes to bones, when it comes to zechuchis, all these things, pshutayan tahorin, their flats are going to be tahor. But the hollow part of them, it can become gum tamei. Nishbaru taro. This is the important part for us right now. If they became broken, they become tor. Chazar vasam and kelim become a tumah mekana lahaba. If someone repairs them and remade them to kelim, they are only mekabel tumah mekana lahaba. They're not chazar the tumas and yeshana. So Megalimar says the same duke mekana lahaba in the tumas from when only from here going forward. However, the mafreilo, because that's now a kli, we don't retroactively say that we revert the old tumah, but that we do that by metal. So why isn't you compared to metal and glass? So the Gemara now says tumas kleis chuches derabanan. So you have to explain the following. That glass is really a rabbinic din, and it's din derabanan. Tumah yeshana derabanan. Also, the fact that tumah yeshana, making it go back to its old tumah when you broke the kli. Once I broke the kli, mitaraisa, it should be totally fine. That's a din derabanan that it goes back to its old tumah. So the Gemara now says, "Betumah deraisa achisur derabanan tumah, beturana achisur derabanan tumah." So now, when it comes to tumah by dinim daraisa by metal, then the rabbanan say that we made their dinim of their former tumah. However, tumah rabbanan, when it comes to that din of glass, then lo achas rabbanan tumah, that they didn't impose the din of the former tumah, and therefore it would be okay. So therefore, it's only going to become tame mekanu lahaba. Now the Gemara says though pishutim mele tame. So why don't we say flat parts of glass should become tame like metal? Because we know that there is a precedent for that. That flat parts of metal is going to be tame medaraisa. So the Gemara answers, no, the Dafka didn't want it to be more makil when it comes to that, when it comes to glass as opposed to metal in this regard, because they don't want people to burn truma and kachim on account of tuma of glassware, as we mentioned before, that many times when they made a din derabanan, since Midar Reis, you're supposed to be eating this truma and kachim, you're not supposed to burn it. It's usher to burn it. So therefore, they didn't want you to burn it right away, and they wanted to make a hecker so that you know that you should only hold it till it becomes Ryan, and then mitamet, and therefore they made this hecker. Okay, here's the Gemara now. So Ravashi, so just another answer. It says Ravashi, le'olam klikhi chayres tamu. So according to Ravashi, no, we say that glass is really always like clay chayres, and they're not similar to metal at all. So then if that's the case, why don't they, like kli charis, they shouldn't be metame on their outer surface. If you touch the outer surface, it shouldn't be metame the inside. So it says Ravash, there's a fundamental problem. Glass is transparent. So since glass is transparent, you could see through it. So therefore, you can't say that we have a gzira that we are metame the inside, even if you touch the outside, which is not like kli charis, but normally it is like kli charis for all other dinim, which according to Ravashi, you would be machmir, it seems like, according to most Rishonim, Ravashi would be machmir on glass, that the tumah, if you only have a tumah ba'avir, if you only put like a sheretz was in the airspace of a klecheres, according to Ravashi, seems to be that you would be machmir on that as well, because it's always across the board like klecheres, with one exception of why you don't touch it. It doesn't become a tamah like the inside, the cool of glass of a klecheres. We're here, that he explains why there's an exception. Now, the Gemara continues with the Braisa. We're recorded in Shema Meshetach Tikin Ksuvel Isha V'Gadur Tumah Klei Matachos. So we're going to analyze the second part of this thing, that he decreed that there's Tumah on metal. The Gemara says that that's not true. Klei Matachos Dereisa Ninu. The fact that metal is susceptible to Tumah is a Din Dereisa. It's from the Torah. The Pasuk says, Dechsev Aches Azav V'es HaKesef V'es HaNechosh V'es HaBraisa V'es HaBedil V'es HaOferes. So we see that gold and silver, copper, iron, and tin, lead, all must be sprinkled. So then we see over here that metal is in this category over here. So then, if that's the case, then if that's the case, then what, you don't need Shimon ben Shetach to come along. So it says, no, Shimon ben Shetach's takana came along for the din of old tumah, that if a person broke a kli matachas, a metal kli, and refashioned it and made it together, it goes back to its old tumah. That's only a din derabanan midaraisa, so it's totally tahor and fine. So as the Gemara proving for this, Damar Avudah Marav Maisa b'Shaltzion Amalka, once happened b'Shaltzion, she was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. She was married to Yana, that's what we had the Gemara Brachos. I think it was that same story over there with when he benched for her. Okay, Yana was not good to he was a big tzaduki and he was not a good guy. However, she was not so bad. So Shasta Mishle Levana, so she followed the Prushim. She was from Jew. Shasta Mishle Levana, so she made a wedding for her son. Nitmu Kokila, and all of her utensils became Tame, Pashtis through Tumas. Amaze, we're going to see in a minute. Ushvaras, and she broke all of them. When the son of the Tzar for Ischa, so, and then that day, she gave him to the smith in order to remake them. So the Vasabam Kim Khadashim Ramrachami Afsu Tumashana. So then she made new utensils out of them. And Chachamim said, no, there's a dinder abanan that these are still Tame, and so this is a proof that the Shimon ben Shetach's Gzeira was for this reason. So the Gemara now asks, my Tama, what is the reason to be Gozer Tumas and Yeshana? Why does it have to revert to its old Tuma? Why don't we go like the Din Daraisa? So it says the Gemara, Mishum Geder Mechatas Naguba. They were interested in passing this halacha based as a safeguard for Mechatas. Rashi points out that people are going to forget about mechatas. They would just, if this procedure was easier than doing mechatas, waiting a whole 7 days and doing shlishi hazar, shlishi vishvi, so this process was easier, Rashi says, therefore people were going to forget about the halachas of mechatas, so we wanted people to keep that in, and therefore we kept this halacha. So the Gemara now says, "Hani chalaman da amar lo lekol tumas amru." So this is good for the one, the man da amar who holds, the shita that holds, that this din was only for the din of Tumas Meis, Elo Tumas Meis Bilvad Amru. Only din for Tumas Meis Shapir, because I understand this halacha, because waiting for 7 days is going to be a pain in the neck. So the people would do this din of getting it right away, Bibitara, that day. However, Laman Damar, the one that holds that we are Lechol Tumas Amru, that even if it's something that's Mitame only for one day, if it touched the Rishon Latuma and it needs to just go to the mikvah and read Bitahar that next night, even for that Man Damar, Ma'ik Lamimar, what is there to say? Meaning, you can't, the same reason wouldn't be applicable for this, to reinstate the Tuma of the old Tuma Yeshana should not be applicable Lechora. So because it's not such a pain, you'll just wait that night, it'll be fine. So it says the Gemara had two reasons. Machogas Abaye Rava. Amar Abaye, Gzira Shem Aloy Kavan Bechtei Tarasa. Abaye says that we are afraid that if you reinstate it right that day, we reinstate the tumah in order as a safeguard, unless a person is, when you have to make a hole big enough to make it tahar, right? The Gemara in Mishnah and Kalim talks about it. I think it's the different shirim. Paul Mishnah and Kalim, I think it's the size of a rimon. I think that's one of the, we had that Gemara in Brachos. It says rimon would be matahar. We're afraid a person's not going to do it in the right manner, poke a hole that big in order to recreate it. So then, really, midaraisa should be tahar. Rava says the Rava Amar Gzira Shamayom Tefila Basioma Olala. Rava has a different reasoning. People are going to say, they're going to think that you didn't tovel it. They see you're using a tamei kli for tahar things. They're not going to realize that you recreated it and broke it and recreated it. They're going to think that what did you do? That you brought it to the mikvah and you're eating it that same day. But we know Tefila Yom is a din daraisa. So therefore, we created this safeguard. So the Gemara now says, "My binayu, what's the difference between these two? What's the nafkamina between the two of them?" Says the Gemara, "Ika binayu ditzarfinu martzrif." The situation where if you completely flatten out the vessel and then refashion them, so then the machlokas would be the following. What's the difference? So Rashi has two interpretations. Rashi likes the second one, so we'll go with that one. That in a situation where you refashion the kli, so it's clearly recognizable as new, therefore no one's going to think that it's something that was an old that you toveled and be matire, so then Rava would hold that it's okay. However, Abaye who holds that it's a concern that we let this happen, that you won't poke a hole, big enough hole the next time, so then Abaye would still plead. If you want to see the other way around, see Rashi, who gives the first a different answer in the first one, but he goes with the second one. Now the Gemara says, we're up to the Yurchas Gzero, so we're up to the last one. What is the Vidach Maya? What is the 18th, the other one of the 18th Gzero? The Gemara now says, this nine, we learn in the Mishnah, Maniach Kelim Tachas Atzina. If someone placed a vessel under a pipe, the Kabbal Mem Mimigasham, in order that rainwater should collect to them, so we know that that there's a psul of Mayim Sheuvim. Psul of Mayim Sheuvim, and all drawn water in a mikvah is Tame, it's not valid for a mikvah. We point that most Rishonim hold that that's a psul deraisa. So now the Gemara says, over here, if you placed a pipe and then receive the water, the pipe itself, Rashi points out, is not an issue because you need a 90 degree and a base kibble. You need something what's a 90 degree angle to be called a base kibble, something that can accept the water. If it just runs through pipes without a 90 degree angle, that not be an issue of shiuvim. That's how our mikvahs are modern day. Mikvahs work like that also. They use pipes, but they don't create a 90 degree angle. They work in circles. So the Gemara says, So the kamei shama echad kelim gdol ve'echad ketanim tani afilu k'nei avanim ve'klei demar k'lei galalim. So in all these situations, even if it's large or if it's small, so it's not even chashuv, even small which aren't, would never even not even chashuv, that would still create a problem of shuvim ve'afilu k'nei avanim, even stone which aren't themselves are not metame, and also k'lei adama if they're made out of mud, that's what most of the terms of Klei Adama. Rashi seems to maybe have a different understanding of this. Rashi seems to say that we're talking about something out of a rock, okay? That's what he understands Klei Adama. Or Klei Galalin, which is made out of dung, which is also something, okay? Postal as a mikvah. Even all these situations, if you have them drawn in this mikvah, it is a problem. They disqualify the mikvah. Now the Gemara says, Echad Aminiach, this is true, whether someone placed you place this kli on the pipe intentionally, or you place them not intentionally, forgot them. Divrei Beit Shammai, that's what Beit Shammai says, it doesn't matter. However, we're going to see a qualification for Beit Shammai in a moment. However, Beit Hillel says, if someone forgot, the psul of Shiuvim, very interesting, that this must be a Gzeiras HaKatziv, that the psul of Shiuvim only applies where you had das about it, where you knew you were creating the Shiuvim. However, if you forgot, it would be okay. So as the Gemara Amar Meir, Nimnu V'Ram Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, so that day, Beit Shammai and Hillel that we were talking about before, the same day when they're Alila Beis Choron over there, so they went out and then Beis Shammai paskin, and then they outnumber Beis Hillel, and they paskin the Shiloh that it's for problem and it would pass the mikvah. However, the Gemara now says, Umodim Beis Shammai b'shochech b'chatzer. Beis Shammai agree. If you forgot the kli over there, if you forgot the vessel in an open courtyard, shu'tar, the mikvah would be okay in that situation because you don't have das at all. Meaning everyone agrees that there's a concept that you need nismala la das. You need to fill it willingly with shiuvim. That's a din that everyone agrees to. So Beis Shammai said they just disagree with this prat, which the Gemara is going to relate in a moment. And the Gemara now says, "Amar Rabbi Yosi adayin machlokas ko memedes." Rabbi Yosi says that there is, the machlokas is still standing in its place. So says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Marsharsher Marsharsher said, Divrei Rav Amrei." But in the base Medrash Rav, they say the following. With regards to machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, now Hakol Modim, everyone agrees that what kishenicham b'shas kisher avamim. If a person placed the kelim over there when it was cloudy, and you clearly wanted them to get the water to mayim, the water is going to be invalid for a mikvah. However, b'shas pizur avim, in a situation if you place them when the clouds were scattered, you didn't pretend that the water came into them, and then later they came in, zevra called tahor, and then they would be tahor. So what's the machlokas? Lo nechazu ela shenicham b'shas kisher avamim. The only machlokas is when you place them. When the clouds were gathered, and then they subsequently left, meaning cloudy, you thought it was going to rain, so you originally wanted it to be shuvim, that was clear. And then it became dispersed, the clouds, and then they regathered, so the Gemara says that Mar Sefer, one man, the Amar Beis Hillel holds, but l'machshava, so his original attention has gone away, and we, even though originally you did want it to create the shuvim, you wanted drawn water in that bucket, it's not a problem. If it fell into the mikvah afterwards, we don't call that shuvim. Or Mar Sefer, however, according to Beis Shammai, lo bat l'machshava, we originally machshava, it's not considered as batel, and therefore it's not canceled out. We go after the original fact that you wanted it shuvim, and that would be a problematic. The Mara asked now, Rabbi Yossi, damar machlokas, adayim kum medes. But Rabbi Yossi said that according to Rabbi Yossi, that the machlokas is still in its place. So batel, we don't have 18, we're one short. So says the Gemara, "Nach Mar Yitzchak, Benos Kusim, Nidos Mari." So saying, the fact that a woman who's a Kusi, if you have a Kusi daughter who's born right away, even when she's just born, she is metame as a Nida Bobayom Gazer. That was that day. So why is that? Rashi points out because we have. They had a Talmud Lomar, Isha Kusim Ein Dorshin. So we had a drush of Isha, even a day old. So that was only when you know she had blood, but the Kusim weren't Doris this drasha. So we assumed Gzeiras HaKatziv, even though one day old, very unlikely, she's a Nida. So even though it's a row of chance that she's probably not, we go after the fact that they weren't Doris the drasha. So we agree that all Ketanim from whatever age can become a Nida. The fact that Bia is Mishlosh is a different thing. But the fact that they become a Nida, everyone based on that drasha. However, since the Kusim didn't accept it, we assume that all Kusim are going to be Tame min Nida. Now the Gemara asks for idach mahi. So what is the other of the 18th gzera? Says the Gemara, this now we learned in the Mishnah. Kol ha-metaltalin, anything that's a movable item can serve as an oel. What's an oel? An oel creates literally a cover. So meaning that if a meis rachman al son dies in a house, anything in that room of the house is metame because you have a roof that's covering it over. Now it doesn't necessarily need to be a house, a roof that creates it. You can create a oel through a movable item also. So the Gemara says now, mevinas tuma. What's this case? When it can convey the tuma? When it's this thickness of ovi amardeh. Ovi amardeh is the thickness of like the type of stick that the ox used to, that the farmers used to use to walk with their ox. That's this type of literally a goad. That's what it's translated. Amar Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says that this is not true. Akapech es beni. I'm going to bury my children, Rachman al son, because this is totally wrong. Shizu alacha mikupeches. This halacha is completely cut off and wrong. The listener heard this and he erred in the interpretation because he thought that this is the shear that you need to have ovi mardeya is the thickness that it create a tumah, that if a person's holding this wooden thing and it goes over one animal to himself, that would be enough to create an ol. Doesn't necessarily need to be a roof, but that's not the case. This is way less than that. So then Rabbi Tarfon proceeds to explain what happened that they made this mistake. Ik over Mardog al Ksefa. So farmer was once walking, had this goat on his shoulders. The Eel Tsidu al Gave al Kever. So then at the end of the goat that he was hanging over a grave. So the rabbi said that he was Tabe. So not because of the fact that this had the thickness and it was ma'al al him, and he put it over the grave and himself. Rather, mishum kelim alam al meis. This was an account of the fact that a kli, the utensil, was lying above this dead person, and therefore, it's any kli, any size, would be matame at that shear. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva wanted to be matar, it's what happened over here. Amar Rabbi Kiva, ani asakin, shidur ha-chamim kamim. I'm going to explain that the chamim make sense. So really, he agrees with Rabbi Tarfon's problem that a leniency with regards to tefach will not lead to the tefach width. So he's assuming that you need a tefach width, and you don't have that by the Ovir Mardeash. So now he explains, Rabbi Akiva says the following, Shikoma Taltlin, the law is that all movables, Mevina Satuma, they cause Tuma to be brought, Allah Adam, Shinose, Al Sam, any person that's holding them, the Ovir Mardeash, when they have the thickness of a goat. When you have the thickness, the standard goat has a circumference of one tefach, so its width is going to be a third of a tefach, according to Rabbi Akiva, and that's the chiddush of Rabbi Alatzman Kolshin. Upon themselves, he agrees, and a chanami, that they become a tami, but the chiddush of the Ovi Mardeya, when they have the thickness of the goat, is coming, because you can make a mistake. But other dinim, you can have the case of a poteach tefach. So understanding the din of Rabbi Akiva, you have to understand what's going on over here. But midah raisa, a person, he's a rishon, because the anything we said can become an avatuma would be created, he would get an avatuma, you're touching an avatuma, you become a rishon latuma. So the person, this can lead to a very big kilkul. People are going to come to make a mistake. The farmer knows that he didn't come in direct contact with the grave, and yet he's going to be declared tamei. He's not going to realize that he got his tumah through the goat. He thinks that he became tamei because he was olames by the goat. And so then what? So then, although the goat doesn't have the acquired width of a tefach, he's going to assume that a circumference of a tefach is sufficient to form an ol. And since he's going to think like that, he was declared a rishon. An avatuma. If he's only become a rishon, he is going to lead him to think that any person who acquires a tumah through ol ames is only a rishon latuma, because he's going to think he had the shear of a shear, but he didn't have the shear, and he's going to come to make that confusion. So to avoid the confusion, the rabbanan were misakin that whenever you have the ovi amardeya, we're going to assume that is ma'al al hames, and that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Ve'amar Rabbi Tarfon. Now the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Tarfon, he said on there, Mardeya Shamra Be'ovyav, that when the thickness of this goat that they spoke about, that it doesn't have the thickness of tevach, v'yesh be'kefa tevach, but it doesn't have a circumference of on tevach, v'gazwa kefa mishum ovyav. So that in this situation, the Rabbanu were they decreed on the circumference of a tevach, that it'll constitute on account of the thickness, like we mentioned before, because you'll come to make a mistake, think that you should only be a rishon when you have the case of ol. The Gemara says that Rabbi Tarfon, Damar Kapecha, Panish Akhazimachavet, Tzar Lehu. But now we explain that Rabbi Tarfon didn't agree, he disagreed with this whole takana. So then he's missing one of the Yudches Gzeros. So how is he going to have Yudches Gzeros? So that's where now I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Af Bnos Kusim Arisasan Bovyam Gazer. So he's going to assume that the fact that a woman who's a Nida from the Arisasan for the very day she was born is going to be one of those. Is going to be one of the Yudches Gzeros of Idach. And the other case that we saw before, several of our Kamer, Rabbi Tarfon agrees with Rabbi Meir that in a situation that he said about the case of the Shchicha that we hold, that is included in the Yudches Gzeros, Rabbi Yossi disagreed. So he's going to hold like Rabbi Meir, he's going to hold that we have 18. Okay, we'll stop over here.